Welcome to the PSDcast with your host, Jason Lumberg with Power Systems Design. And in case you haven't noticed, China has become a fierce rival of ours in the renewable energy department and just about everywhere else. With solar power, China holds a commanding lead, but perhaps more disturbing is the fact that we're all but surrendering our lead in nuclear power. While many of our most recent nuclear plants are either closed down or in the process of decommissioning, China's nuclear industry is booming. One estimate predicts China will generate more nuclear energy than both France and the U.S. combined by 2030, a disturbing prospect indeed. And on the line to discuss this is our old friend James Walker, a nuclear physicist and CEO of Nano Nuclear Energy. So James, welcome back to the show. And you and I have talked about nuclear energy's public perception before, so I won't retread old territory, but how about this? Why do you think the U.S. nuclear industry is more or less stagnating?
Hey there, Jason. Thanks for having me back. So I would say the main thing that jumps to mind when you ask that question is that the U.S. for a long time was reliant on sourcing material from Russia, which basically allowed it to not have to invest in its own nuclear energy infrastructure. So it was buying weapons-grade material from Russia, and it was downblending it to meet its domestic needs, whether that was military or whatever. And for that reason, while it was doing that, China was come to the conclusion that it had, you mentioned solar and all those other renewables, but it had actually come to the conclusion that nuclear was its long-term solution for a consistent baseload power. And so it went out and built a lot of nuclear. And because it did that, it got very good at it. And while it was building up and learning, we were essentially not investing in it. And there's other reasons too, like the uranium price did crash, and for that reason, when that happens, there's just less development in the sector. So mines don't get developed. If a mine doesn't get developed, there's no product going out to industry for conversion, for enrichment, for deconversion. So those capabilities were farmed out, and now the U.S. is in a situation where it's, you know, the relationship with Russia isn't great. So it needs to build back its infrastructure, but it's obviously doing that from a bit of a deficit because there's been this sort of atrophy of industry. So, and that's allowed China to pull ahead, essentially.
All right. So if nuclear continues to decline as a percentage of our total power generation, what sort of impact do you think that'll have on renewable energy as a whole?
It's a really good question, actually, because you could always make the argument that there are other solutions. But like we have seen like massive consequences come from trying to substitute nuclear out for other solutions. So if you look at Germany as an example, they had a very, very powerful green lobby come into power that exercised enormous control in parliament. And because of that, they were able to shut down their nuclear plants to try and invest in alternatives. So wind, solar, geothermal, hydro, whatever it is to plug that gap but make it green. And the result was that they were massively deficient in the energy that they needed to power the country. So they ended up having to buy power from Poland, that was coal, and then buy power from France, which is ironically actually nuclear power generated energy. So I think the intentions can always be good to try and substitute nuclear out. But the problem there is that nuclear has such a high capacity factor, actually the highest, actually more than gas, more than coal, anything. And that if you were to try and substitute with something else, you need to build a vast infrastructure project to compensate for that high baseload consistent energy that it delivers. And look, so it's not just Germany that struggled. There was a similar instance in the UK as it began to scale down its nuclear and try and put resources into other renewables. And that led to energy shortfalls there too, to such an extent that they are now putting billions back into its nuclear industry. And Japan, despite Fukushima, is now going back into nuclear again because it's decided that is the long-term solution where you can have sovereign energy without risk of like long-term fluctuations in price because you have all your fuel up front. And the U.S. is in the same boat. It's obviously made enormous investments into renewables, but it's come to the conclusion that it needs a lot of power, and it needs a lot more power, especially because the tech industry has come to the same conclusion that the only way it can power its future data centers and tech centers is nuclear too. And so now everyone's rolling back into it, And this is despite the fact that it has been really a global push in the last decade, maybe a couple decades, into other renewables. So it's not the only solution. Like that would be a silly thing to say, but like it forms a big, sensible, strategic part of the overall picture of a country where it wants sovereign energy and consistent amounts and a high baseload energy.
Okay, now James, you sort of got into this already, but maybe you could dive a little deeper. So with U.S. nuclear energy waning, at least at the moment, what's driving China's strong push for it? You know, is it their rivalry with the U.S. and their economic ascendancy in the world stage, or is it something else?
So that's actually a very good question. Like, it always leads people to speculate because they're never going to be upfront with what their intentions are. But it's quite clear that they invested a huge amount of money into solar. And obviously, as you said, they're leading in the charge in that, and they generate enormous amounts of power. But they still came to the conclusion they wanted nuclear anyway. And you can ask, you can speculate on why they came to that conclusion. But I think it's also very important to point out that the requirement for nuclear power in the U.S. has risen exponentially in the last few years because of the drive from the tech industry, because AI, for instance, becomes increasingly energy hungry as it becomes more sophisticated. And for that reason, the tech companies have settled on nuclear. Now, China is behind in the tech industry, but if the U.S. was to get to a point where it could not advance in certain technological sectors because of energy constraints, that would actually allow a country that had more power to catch up in the tech industry. So from my own point of view, and it seems very obvious to me that they are investing a huge amount into nuclear. And look, I think they have more nuclear in the pipeline now than the rest of the world combined, like plants to come online. But it seems to me very feasible that if they were to put all of these power plants into place, then if they were generating their own oil, which obviously they're trying to do, and they do reach the same sort of point that the U.S. is in now, but they actually have the power to keep going, they could overtake the U.S. in these sectors. This is currently an area where the U.S. has a good commanding lead, but only to a point, and the tech industry is warning about this. There could be plateaus as soon as 2028 in terms of the power that they need to fuel these centers. So I would really make a hazard a guess that, okay, fine, they want to power the country and have a consistent form of energy and not be reliant on imports of oil and gas or anything like that. But on the tech side of things, real economic development and economic competitiveness, I think, will become increasingly dependent on technological development in the AI sector. And if they can have the power to overtake the U.S., we might never catch them up. And from a strategic long-term perspective, that's an incredibly intelligent thing to do.
Could you describe fourth-generation nuclear technology that we're looking at right now?
Sure. So it does vary. So if you think about sort of traditional technologies and you're looking at, you're mostly looking at light water reactors. And it does what it says on the tin. Like, it's just, you're taking conventional fuel rods, conventional fuel plates, and you're running water across these heating up fuel forms, and you're removing the heat through water. As you these more advanced reactors, they're utilizing a variety of different coolants and technologies, and that sort of newer technology is sort of classified as Gen 4 or Gen 3 plus. But that could range from anything to molten salt reactors, lead coolants. It could be thorium reactors. It could be things like that. So it's really looking at sort of a more advanced technologies that are moving on from the traditional things that we're all familiar with, like big power stations that utilize water, and like that's it in a layman's term.
Yeah. All right, James. Well, now before I let you go, in the near and distant future, what can the U.S. do exactly? Maybe some early steps to recapture its lead in nuclear power.
So, you know, this is something that it's very clear that the government is very worried about. It's been worried about it for, you can see now, at least since the Ukraine war has started, it's become increasingly increasing preoccupation of the government. And you can see that because it's putting out these big RFPs for billions of dollars at a time based around infrastructure build back for the fuel supply chain, like enrichment RFPs, deconversion, LEU enrichment, all these different measures. So the U.S. is making a good start on putting money back into building out this infrastructure. So that's a big one for a start. So we are taking actual credible action here to address these shortfalls and to put the supply chain in place so we can actually build these reactor systems and provide the power we need to keep up with China, because they have a prospect of overtaking. But the government has also identified that there are other issues that have been responsible for, say, why nuclear energy in the U.S. is more expensive than anywhere else. And that's, it is actually not, it's not the U.S.'s fault exactly. They were the first into nuclear power, but as a result of that, you have a regulator that has built up sort of decades of paperwork and processes and fixes for things. But that can, that's also contributed to the fact that licensing modern reactors can be a very long and very onerous and very cost-intensive process. And but the U.S. has now recognized that that's actually the reason why nuclear ended up being expensive, because theoretically nuclear should be very cheap because it's incredibly power-dense, like energy-dense material. So it's actually issued legislation now to put mandates on the regulator to reform. And just as an example, like there's one mandate in particular that is, I think, is beneficial for all reactor developers, that the NRC will need to license a reactor fully within a 25-month time frame. Now, that's crucial because it obviously means that you aren't going to be as strung out commercially, because you have a quicker route to commercialization and a product, and the costs associated will likely be less because you're spending less time in regulation and you can get to revenue sooner. So there's these mandates that are coming down to try and reform and update the system, and also to create nuclear frameworks that are more applicable. Like our company makes microreactors. Now that is a completely different product catering to a completely different market than a big light water reactor that's powering a city. So the U.S. is taking quite drastic action here to address these things and build back nuclear. So it's not even going to be a few years of market interest here. The government needs this. Even the Department of Defense has recognized that it might run out of nuclear fuel for its military by 2040. Now, if that happens, that's no aircraft carriers, no submarines. You can't deploy properly. So it's not something that's going away. It has to be built back. There's no choice. That's why these top-down orders from Department of Energy, from DOD, are all now pushing back into nuclear. And it's being complemented by the tech industry as well, that is very worried it'll be overtaken by China. So I think we're in a good space. If I could recommend that anything else were to be done on top of all of these things, I would probably say that in addition to all this government and tech support, I think government involvement to try and provide, I think, loans for manufacturing facilities for reactor systems to go out there and manufacture these reactors would probably be incredibly useful too. But you know, that's a small addition into what's actually being done at the moment.
Makes sense. Well, thanks, James. I want to thank you for your time. Thanks for joining us again. And to our audience, thanks for tuning in and have a great day.